Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of the world's societies. To those who know that political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, that there's not one of them that can be fixed. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines to know who is working against our interests, to understand why they are doing so, to have an appreciation of what they're doing and how they're getting away with it. Because exposing and condemning errant and treacherous schemes, even ignorance, isn't hateful. It's caring. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore what Yahweh has to say, his Torah, his teaching, because its covenant provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, is 877-376-45. We're going to begin today covering the news, as we normally do. And then we're going to transition to a remarkable prophecy that is going to be like no transition at all. It's going to be as if we are still talking about the news, but we're going to be reviewing a presentation of today's news that was written 2,750 years ago. President Barack Hussein Obama has warned Israel of international fallout if it does not endorse U.S. framework for a peace deal with the mythical people, although he didn't use that term, called the Palestinians. What he is saying is that he and his administration will lead the charge to impose severe financial, economic sanctions, political sanctions against Israel, boycotting Israeli products, that he will accelerate his sale of war materials to Israel's enemies while depriving Israel of even the spare parts to keep its defense running. He didn't say that the Palestinians are a mythical people, that there's no such thing as a Palestinian people nor anything akin to a Palestinian state. He didn't say, of course, that the people who call themselves Palestinians are terrorists, that in Gaza they have voted by a two-thirds majority for Hamas, which even the Egyptian government recognizes is an Islamic terrorist organization. And in the West Bank, they are controlled by the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It is the PLO that governs politics in the West Bank. This is a nation that says that it will not appease terrorists. It won't even negotiate with terrorists, and yet it's willing to give Israel to the terrorists. Now, the motivation for this is manyfold. One is that bashing Israel is considered enlightened. Yes, the enlightened journalists of the world, the enlightened politicians of the world, recognize that when they bash Israel, when they blame Israel, that their constituents love them. The world is still very anti-Semitic. Also, Israel doesn't have large reserves of natural gas or oil, and the Islamic countries do. And the de facto currency of the world now is oil. And enriched with this ill-gotten gain, the Islamic countries are able to buy massive amounts of weaponry, which is extremely profitable for countries and their exports, such as the United States. It's really that simple. There's also this tendency of countries to not heed the lessons of history, to not recognize that when Neville Chamberlain ceded the high ground of Czechoslovakia to Adolf Hitler, he empowered him. He didn't assuage his anger. This is a revelation that for some reason just remains lost on the world. That those who are enraged, those who are indoctrinated to hate and to kill, never see a concession as being satisfactory. It's just an entree to the next step, the meal itself, which is the destruction of the foe. In the concession of Czechoslovakia to Adolf Hitler, what it did is it cemented Adolf Hitler's position and credibility with the German military. Prior to that time, the military was actively considering coups to remove him from power. They thought that what he was proposing was going to be suicidal for the nation. But once he was able to coax a concession out of Britain to give the Third Reich, Czechoslovakia, the military said, maybe the man really is a born leader. Maybe we should trust him. He's able to win vast territories and vast concessions. And it galvanized support for Hitler, who 6 months after the concession invaded Poland and started World War II. The exact same thing's going to happen with these Muslims. As a matter of fact, the prophecy that we're going to consider speaks of this very fact and then condemns America in the midst of it for playing the role of Neville Chamberlain. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. The last Philistine was killed by the Assyrians 2,600 years ago. Not a single Palestinian Philistine survived. Not one. There has never been a race of people known as Philistines, of Palestinians, ever. And this notion that they are the indigenous people and that this is their land and that the Jews stole it from them is completely counter to all historical evidence. Arab Muslims came into the Promised Land only after the Promised Land was ravaged by the Greeks and then the Romans, then the Byzantines. And then when Muhammad created Islam out of a hatred for Jews, with Jews being called apes and swine, with Allah being the most anti-Semitic deity ever conceived by man, with the Quran being more anti-Semitic than Hitler's Mein Kampf, that these Arab Muslims began to savage the world, ravaging it, looting it, polluting it. And one of the places that they infected and invaded was Israel. And they were there for a significant period of time because Islam was conceived in the 7th century CE. And within 10 years of Muhammad's death, Islam had sought to conquer much of the world as barbarians, plunderers. And Israel was amongst their first targets. Now, they conquered the place, to be sure. Does that make it theirs? I think not. The reality is that both Yahweh's testimony and countless amounts of archaeological evidence affirms the fact that Israel is the homeland of Israelites, the descendants of Jacob. It's a tiny little stretch of land. The only reason that Muslims want it, since they have way too much land and better land than Israel, is because they've been indoctrinated to despise Jews in their Quran by their anti-Semitic God. Their God that was modeled after Satan. So why is the United States trying to compel, force, strong-arm Israel into surrendering what God clearly gave them? Now, we've been covering the covenant in this program. God gave them this land. There's only one God. There's only one Israel. God repeatedly reaffirmed that he gave it to these people. Why is America putting itself in direct conflict, in direct opposition to God? Why are Americans mindlessly singing God Bless America as they work in direct opposition to God? Good questions all. Well, this story was written yesterday ahead of the peace talks at the White House. The Obama administration, President Obama himself, told Bloomberg that Prime Minister Netanyahu had to seize the moment. Yeah, it means accept the American capitulation of land. But Mr. Netanyahu reacted defiantly, vowing, "I will not give in to pressure." There has been little sign in the progress of the direct talks that resumed in July after 3 years of hiatus. At the time, Washington said it has sought to achieve a deal on a solution to the decades-old conflict. You know, when the White House or the media presents the Muslim-Israeli conflict as decades old, it shows that they have no concept of what Islam is about. They have no idea that Muhammad attacked three Jewish communities in Yathrib, today's Medina, killing the men, enslaving the children, raping the women, and robbing them, and effectively eliminated the Jewish population in Arabia with his terrorist raids. And that his divine sanction for these things in his situational scriptures was all designed to encourage Muslims to hunt down and kill Jews wherever they find them. This problem isn't decades old. This problem came to exist when Muhammad conceived the religion of Islam back in the 7th century. It's nearly 1,400 years old. That's the reality. And it isn't a conflict in the sense of Jews and Muslims fighting one another. It is always the same. The Muslims terrorize Jews. The Muslims attack Jews. The Jews attempt to defend themselves. There is no symmetry to this battle. There is a good side and there is a bad side. It's one of the very few conflicts in human history where there is consistently a good side and consistently a bad side. So why is the United States on the side of evil? This is a clear-cut, easy choice. Israel should not be surrendering the land that God gave them for promises of peace from those who have never known peace. U.S. President Barack Obama wants both sides, as if there are really sides to this issue. There is an aggressor, there is a victim. That doesn't make both sides to agree to the framework document, not yet public, proposed by his Secretary of State, John Kerry, which seeks to achieve consensus on core issues, or compromise, if you will. They include the borders between Israel and a future Palestinian state. The very notion of creating a Palestinian state is an abomination to God, particularly one carved out of Israel. The status of Jerusalem, to concede Jerusalem to the enemies of the descendants of Jacob, is also an abomination from God's perspective. Israel's insistence that it be recognized as a Jewish state, well, that's God's perspective. The Palestinians demand that their refugees be allowed to return to their former homes. The only reason that there was such a thing called a Palestinian refugee is that when the Arab League wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the map and kill every Jew, when the United Nations gave them this little sliver of land following the Holocaust, was that the Arab League felt that their militaries would be more effective in killing every Jew if the indigenous Muslim population got out of the way. And so it wasn't the Jews who asked the Muslims to leave. It was the Muslims. And the reason that they're kept as refugees and not integrated into the surrounding Islamic countries that have more land than they know what to do with, that they've even developed, and the reason they're not integrated into Lebanon and integrated into Syria and integrated into Jordan and integrated into Egypt is because the Muslim world wants to keep this as an open sore. When you are a dictator and you give your people no reason to empower you, when your decisions are universally hostile to their interests and they live in poverty, then you need a foe, someone to blame for your people's problems. And so by keeping these people isolated and as refugees, these Islamic dictators are able to blame Israel for all of the foes of the Islamic, all of the problems of the Islamic world. And that's the reason that they remain refugees and why they're not integrated into any other country. As a matter of fact, most Muslims the world over despise these people who masquerade as Palestinians. They have no interest in them prevailing. They have no interest in their well-being. Proven time and time again. Look at what Assad did to these Palestinians. Look what Jordan did to these Palestinians. Look what Egypt did just yesterday to Hamas, banning it, calling it a terrorist organization. They have no interest in these people. They despise them, just as they despise the Kurds, which are fellow Muslims. They only want to hold this myth of Palestinian statehood over the Jewish nation as a means to destroy it. Of course, part of the issues here are that that they want a security arrangement in the West Bank, with Israel wanting a long-term presence in the Jordan Valley. Yes, the big issue, of course, with the Palestinians is the Jews having the audacity to build homes. Nothing, they say, is more counter to the peace process than building homes. Well, today the meeting took place. It was brief. It was not cordial. It is still possible to create two states, a Jewish state of Israel and a state of Palestine, with people living side by side in peace and security, Mr. Obama said on Monday. It's difficult, but it requires compromise on all sides. That's pure rubbish. It isn't possible. Muslims have proven that it isn't possible to live in peace beside them because they want a peace of everyone. They have never known peace. You look at the 1,400-year ordeal that has been Islam, and it's one tragic war after another. It is not possible to be at peace with Muslims. Proof, Muslims commit 99% of today's terrorist acts. Proof, look at the Muslim world. It has erupted in war. It is not possible. It is a complete illusion. And any rational person that has studied any aspect of history knows it. And they also know that there is no such thing as a state of Palestine nor a Palestinian people. Moreover, compromise never leads to a just and lasting answer to anyone's problems. It's about having character. It's about doing the right thing. It's about taking a stand. It's not about capitulation. This nation and its leadership are wrong. State John Kerry has been shooting off his mouth a lot recently. He's been accusing the Chinese of egregious behavior, even though the Chinese behavior is the same as the United States. He's been accusing the Russians of bad behavior, even though their behavior is the same as the history of the United States. And he has been lambasting Israel, in fact, meeting with Europe to get Europeans to join together in the threat of boycott and economic sanctions against Israel. It's the means that he is using to persuade Netanyahu to agree to the framework that would enable a land for peace negotiation. Land for peace. I want you to remember that, because God's going to speak of this land for peace deal, and he's not pleased. And he puts the onus strictly on the United States. Gives us a warning for what we have done relative to this land for peace deal, because it does not bring peace, it brings war. The Obama administration knows it. Everyone in Europe knows it. That the capitulation of Israel will bring war, just as the capitulation of Czechoslovakia brought the last war. It's just that this one's going to be far more deadly. Abbas, who is the unelected head of the of Fatah, which is the political arm of the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, unelected because when Muslims voted the last time for leadership, they voted 70% in favor of Hamas. And so Hamas is the rightfully elected leader of these people. But nonetheless, Abbas likes to parade around as if he were elected. He's not. And he is demanding that the Israelis stop building homes. That's his big complaint, that they're building homes. Oh, my God, can you imagine the threat to peace? Nothing a terrorist hates more than someone willing to build homes. Well, Netanyahu appeared to be backing off of Obama's warning of international fallout if Israel peace efforts break down. He is not a person to be trifled with in this regard. It's sort of like warning and tongue-lashing, threatening Putin. Does not turn out well. The Israelis, I don't think, are nearly as concerned about an anti-Israeli boycott movement because they realize that if they make this concession, they're as good as dead. So certain death versus prolonged misery, most countries will choose prolonged misery over certain death. This article says that further complicating the talks, the Israeli government has showed that construction starts of settler homes have more than doubled. About 500,000 Jews live in more than 100 settlements since Israel's 1967 occupation of the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Gee, I wonder why they occupy these territories. Is it that that was the third, well, that was actually the second attempt of Muslims to destroy them, and they failed? Settlements are considered illegal under international law only because the international lawyers apply different rules to Israel than they do for the rest of the world. If those settlements are illegal, so are the states of Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona. So much of the United States would be considered illegal and occupied if the same rules were applied. What about Great Britain's long control over Ireland and Scotland? What about every country on earth as they were able to acquire lands? Did the international community say, oh, no, you need to give that land back? It's absurd. The Palestinians suspended the last round of talks in 2010 after a 10-month halt of Israeli building in the West Bank expired. The Palestinians, of course, are mythical people trying to establish a mythical state, a terrorist state, in the West Bank and Gaza Strip with East Jerusalem as its capital. Israel captured those areas in the 1967 war when it successfully thwarted an all-Islamic assault against the country. The Gaza Strip is something they pulled out of in 2005. It's now run by Hamas Islamists. And they continue to terrorize Israel, which is what the West Bank will do if it is surrendered. We have a model. It's not hard to see what Muslims are going to do when they're given control over territory. You just have to look at Gaza. The Palestinians point to Israeli settlement building in occupied West Bank territories as the obstacle to peace. They don't point to the rockets being launched by Hamas. This is an absolute tragedy. And it's a travesty for the same reason that the way the United States is reacting to Syria and now to the Ukraine is a travesty. We speak out of ignorance. We are grotesquely hypocritical. What we say is counterproductive. What we do is counterproductive. And so Netanyahu used this occasion, the three-hour meeting with Obama, to once again lecture him, as he famously did in 2011, on the long struggles of the Jewish people as they sought to counter Islamic terrorism, the Islamic assault against the country. and to counter Obama's call to base a peace agreement on the borders that existed before 1967 in the Middle East War. You know, it is information that the entire world needs to hear, but it doesn't make any difference. To a person as grandiose as Obama, as a person as political as Obama, evidence and reason are meaningless. They're immune to them, just as they are immune to evidence and reason when it's deployed regarding the Ukraine, even Syria. Today, a court in Egypt has banned all activities by the Palestinian Islamist movement Hamas and ordered a seizure of its offices and assets. Hamas, like the PLO, was conceived in Egypt. And yet the Egyptians are smart enough to recognize that Hamas is an Islamic terrorist organization and have shut them down, have banned them. And yet America wants to give them a nation. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? The Islamic nation, Egypt, recognizes that Hamas is an Islamic terrorist organization, has banned them and has shut them down, and yet America wants to give them their own nation. Boy, are we on the wrong side. Egypt's interim government designated the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group in December, 5 months after President Mohamed Morsi was ousted. A Hamas spokesman, Sami Abu Zuri, condemned the court ruling. The decision harms the image of Egypt and its role towards the Palestinian cause. It reflects a form of standing against the Palestinian resistance. Well, it does hurt the Palestinian cause because it shows that there really is no such thing as a Palestinian. There are only Islamic terrorists. And Egypt has exposed, has condemned, has judged, and has banned the most formidable of all of these Islamic terrorist organizations in terms of its hatred of Israel. It is the Islamic terrorist organization that was popularly elected by the mythical people known as the Palestinians. It is the terrorist organization that if America gets its way and creates a Palestinian state, will control that state. And yet the Egyptians, who conceived them, who know them infinitely better than anyone in America, just banned them as a terrorist organization. Egyptian Foreign Minister Nabil Fahmy told a news conference that he was not aware of the ruling, but he says whoever threatens Egypt's security should understand that there will be consequences. Hamas is perceived as a threat to Egypt's security. So what do you think they are in terms of Israel's security? How in the world could you have a Palestinian state controlled by Hamas create a condition where Israelites could live in peace and security, when the Egyptians can't even live in peace and security in proximity to Hamas? Hamas, which governs the neighboring Gaza Strip and was elected to control the West Bank, was founded in the 1980s as an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, and therefore the group have close ties. Well, the fact is that every Islamic terrorist organization on the planet of Sunni persuasion was conceived by the Muslim Brotherhood. All of them. Since the overthrow of Mr. Morsi, the authorities in Cairo have accused Hamas of interfering in Egyptian affairs and conspiring with jihadist militants based in the northern Sinai Peninsula who have carried out attacks on government security forces, killing hundreds of security forces and civilians in the region. Hamas is a deadly, destructive terrorist organization. And yet the Obama administration wants to give them control over the land that God himself gave to the Israelites. It is an amazing juxtaposition of news, is it not? What Egypt has declared this day, and what the President of the United States had to say on this day. It's as if the evidence that declares this is the dumbest, most counterproductive, most suicidal move that could ever be perpetrated by the United States, absolute evidence of that doesn't even cross the minds of the journalists covering the meeting between Netanyahu and Obama, nor does it cross the mind of the President of the United States and his Secretary of State that are marshaling towards not only the destruction of Israel, but World War III. It's little wonder that in the midst of his discussion of this treaty and how it will thin Israel, making Israel more vulnerable, God himself condemns the United States of America. We'll cover that prophecy over these next weeks and months of shows. This is another story, just another way to expose listeners to the fact that those who embrace Islam, those who tolerate Islam, bring violence against their people. Gunmen burst into a court in a busy shopping center in the center of Pakistan's capital on Monday, and they killed 11 people in a brazen attack likely to shatter any prospect of meaningful peace negotiations with the Taliban. Pakistan, Syria, Egypt, Libya, it goes on. Police said that 30 were wounded in addition to those who was killed, including the judge, when the Islamic gunman opened fire, spraying bullets at everyone. No one, of course, immediately claimed responsibility, but the attack is likely to show that the Taliban's leadership, which declared a month-long ceasefire over the weekend, was the perpetrator. So here's peace and security, of course, with Muslims. They announced a ceasefire over the weekend. And then on Monday, they went into a court and with automatic weapons, killed people, turning the courtroom into a pile of rubble and pools of blood. A couple of words on the Ukraine. Turns out that the Russians haven't sent troops to the Ukraine. They have sent troops into the Crimean Peninsula, but it's an autonomous region. Putin says that there is no need yet to send Russian troops into the Ukraine. Russia reserves the right to use all means to protect its citizens. The Ukraine, for better part of 250 years, 300 years, was integrated into Russia, and it has never really been independent. Even the last 20 years where it's declared its independence, it has been totally dependent on foreign governments for handouts. It was much better off integrated into Russia than it is separated from Russia. He denied Russian troops had besieged the Ukrainians in Crimea. He said all troops there were pro-Russian self-defense forces, whatever that might mean. Putin called the toppling of President Viktor Yanukovych following mass protests an anti-constitutional coup and an armed seizure of power. He's right. But that doesn't seem to matter because America's Secretary of Ill Fate, John Kerry, is in Kiev, bringing $1 billion of American taxpayer money with him. Yes, let's reward the anti-Semites there in the Ukraine. Now, the fact is that they're anti-Semites. They brought this on themselves. Their indulgence, their lack of personal discipline, has bankrupted their country. Their unwillingness to work. They have been an independent country for a grand total of 20 years, in which point they've already had two armed insurrections, two revolutions. This one was preceded by the Orange Revolution. It is a country of wholly corrupt politicians and wholly corrupt individuals trying to impose a new set of politicians. We can't fix the problems in Ukraine. It isn't our sphere of influence. We ought not even use the term sphere of influence, but we have nothing to gain and everything to lose in Ukraine. Our taxpayers' money, we just squandered $1 billion. And all we're doing is exacerbating the likelihood that the world engages in war. Kerry said that one of the things that he was going to do to punish the Russians was to suspend them from the G8. Now, he says, first of all, that Obama wouldn't be attending the G8 summit in Sochi, Russia, that is upcoming. But he says, There's not going to be a Sochi G8 summons, Kerry told Meet the Press. He might not even remain in the G8 if this continues. It's going to lose on the international stage, just like America has over the last two decades. By the way, in case you were curious, the G8, which is an economic summit, was founded by France, which has the fifth largest economy in the world. It includes the United States as the largest economy, only largest if you don't view the European Union as an economy, but the European Union is clearly an economy, so it is actually now larger than the United States. It includes Japan, the third largest economy, although the Japanese economy is rapidly shrinking. Germany, which at the time was only West Germany, but combined East and West Germany is the fourth largest economy. France, the fifth. UK is the sixth. Russia is the eighth. Italy is the ninth. And America's half, Canada. I don't want to besmirch the Canadians, but they have the 11th largest economy, and yet they're in the group of eight largest economies. Somebody obviously can't count. I've obviously not named the second and the seventh largest economy in the world, the fastest growing economy in the world, and the second largest, the world's largest manufacturer, the world's largest exporter, is China. They're not included. What a charade. Brazil is not included, even though Brazil's economy is bigger than Russia's, Italy's, and Canada's. Australia is not included. It comes in at 12. India is not included. It comes in at 10. Spain at 13. Mexico at 14. And South Korea at 15. While the United States, Japan, Germany, and France belong, China is larger than the UK, Russia, Italy, and Canada combined. And as I've shared with you, the EU is now larger than the U.S. We'll be back after the commercial break.